You're listening to Rowan Radio On Demand. Download more podcasts at rowanradio.com.
The following program does not represent the views or opinions of the staff or administration of Rowan University or Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM.
Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM proudly presents Career Talk, a monthly program featuring information on career and academic planning, sponsored by the Rowan University Office of Career Advancement. And now, here's your host, the Assistant Director of the Office of Career Advancement, Reuben Britt.
Welcome to Career Talk. I'm your host, Reuben Britt. The late, great Kobe Bryant once said, "The most important thing is to try and inspire people so that they can be great in whatever they want to do." My guest today is a reflection of that quote because he continues to inspire people to be great in whatever they do. Joining us today on Career Talk is James Bledsoe, Interim Director of People's Operations at Adium. James, welcome to Career Talk.
Good morning, Reuben, and thank you for that heartwarming introduction. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're welcome. James, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your professional career journey?
Sure. Most of it was strategic midway through my journey. Early on, though, I can say I was a kid that was always around people going to college. So I was that little kid that my mother would bring me to work. She was a school teacher.
Okay.
And I got to see most of my aunts and uncles go to college. So college was always a destination for me, and it was important to me. And I'll bring in the hook here in a second. When I was coming out of high school, I remember going out to lunch one day and wondering where are all the students going after they graduate? I just looked out at the schoolyard and I could see, you know, a couple thousand people out. And I started to think about whether or not we were all prepared. And at that moment, I looked over at the Career Center on, you know, there was a career counselor on campus, and I saw the office was empty. This is a true story. And I thought to myself, you know, if I were a career counselor, I could make sure that office was full at all times. At that point, I was thinking about helping people go to college. But that was when, I guess, in my heart, whatever potential I had inside of me started to grow. It started to come out. And I started to think about what I wanted to be in life. So every opportunity I had growing up, when I would get jobs, part-time jobs, you know, going into college myself, I would try to get into jobs where it was helping people to understand the big picture of how to get to college. And so that led to a campus tour guide position my junior year in college, working out of the Office of Admissions and touring people around campus. So I had to know the history of the buildings. But as I progressed through that, I found out that there was such a position as a college recruiter. And so since I had a network of people on campus at my university where I went, who kind of knew my work ethic, I was able to interview well and go into that position pretty much right out of college.
Okay.
And so my whole thing was early in my career, helping people to go to college, stay in college, and develop while they were in college and transition into the workforce.
Now, where did you attend college?
I went to two schools, primarily when we talk about full-time. I went to Glendale Community College and Portland State University. I say full-time because I played minor league baseball with Chicago White Sox right out of high school. So during the off-season, I would enroll in whatever college would let me take a class here and there, you know, just to keep myself busy. But primarily, as far as full-time, yeah, Glendale Community College in California and Portland State University in Portland, Oregon.
Now, speaking of baseball, what position did you play?
Well, I was signed as a outfielder. I primarily played left field, but it was known that I was willing to step in and get behind the plate or go to first base or right field. But I think I was drafted for my athleticism, quite frankly, but it was really tough hitting those off-speed pitches, those curveballs. So my career only lasted about 2.5 seasons.
Now, I know when I met you, you worked at Washington State University, and now you're the yes. interim director of People's Operations. Can you tell us what are your responsibilities as the interim director of People's Operation?
Well, my primary responsibilities, it's really about workforce management. That's how I like to think of it. And so I'm leading the effort for onboarding new talent and offboarding people, whether they resign or, you know, we have to go a different direction. And those are two very important processes, because you have to do it in terms of treating people with decency, dignity, and respect.
Definitely.
But while they're working for the company, whatever occupation they are in, making sure that they're receiving the support and the services that we talked about during onboarding, those benefits, making sure you build rapport with everybody in the company so that when something needs support or someone or a situation needs support, everyone in the company knows what office to call, you know, what services to call on, what person to call on, and that's me. And that you can do that with a smaller company. We're just under 200 staff. I say about a third of that staff is in the Philippines, but two-thirds are here in the U.S. As far as our headquarters. That's basically what I'm doing, workforce management. And so from selecting and recruiting people and throughout the whole employee life cycle, making sure that our employees are supported and they feel good about what they're doing.
Now, I had mentioned that, you know, when I first met you, you were working at Washington State. What was your position at Washington State University?
Okay, well, at Washington State University, I did 2 decades there. So I was in student services. And I feel like to stay in student services at a major university, you gotta be willing to persist, persevere.
Mm, you're right.
And so I started out as a recruiter for the university, for WSU. And my job was to recruit students of color. That was the term we used at that time, multicultural students, underserved students throughout the entire West Coast. So I made a habit of going to every port on the West Coast, from Anchorage to Seattle to Portland to Oakland down into Los Angeles. And I would go into those communities there because I know that's where a lot of, I guess you could say, multicultural communities, in my case, particular African-American communities, were branching out from the ports. And I say that because many of those families relocated there in the 1940s and 50s, you know, during the war, as far as a call for labor. And so I knew about those communities. So that's what I would frequent. But I moved away from recruiting to academic advising, because I realized, hey, we got enough recruiters out there now after 5 or 6 years of doing it. I need to work on what it means to help a student be retained and stay and do well. So I started getting into retention and academic advising. I knew all the programs of study, so I could help students find their pathway no matter what direction they wanted to go. And then after doing that type of thing, retention and advising, for another, you know, 5 or 6 years, then I got into career counseling, career advising, career coaching. And I just made sure that not only could I talk about the programs of study, you know, the academic majors, with any student, with any family, with any student athlete, I made sure I could talk about what that student could possibly do with that degree, what industries they could possibly look at. So those are the things I was doing at Washington State University. And I feel like that prepared me to now jump on the other side, you know, work on for the employer and learn some things there and help some people find their pathway into the job market, into the workforce.
Now, were there any challenges in making the transition from education to the private sector?
Yeah, there were challenges, and a lot of it was learning opportunity. The challenge for me was getting the vacation, meaning in higher ed, you know, you could earn up to 5 or 6 weeks vacation. Private sector, you know, you get your 2 weeks, and that's it. You can earn a little bit more over time, but that's a different flow. It's not that I'm looking for vacation time. It's that that's a different flow, and you got to pace yourself. Getting used to the terminology like PTO, paid time off, you know, those types of things, and being able to use your time off so that you can not just have a flow of how you serve people, but you don't want to get burnt out because you're going to be going full speed year round. There is no slow time for me in my industry, you know, in the private sector that I'm in. There's no slow time. This is, you know, it's go, 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 pivot, pivot, pivot. The bottom line is always on my mind as I come into the office and being efficient and getting things done. So I'll also say that things move, for me, in the private sector, things move fast, changes happen fast, and maybe that's why I like it so much. I was a person that, I was always constantly looking to get better at what I do mm-hmm. or fix situations. And so sometimes in higher ed, things move a little bit slower as far as change, obvious change that should be made in any given situation. But in here, it just kind of accommodates my work style. I see something that can be fixed, changed, you know, assessed, and then, you know, edited a little bit or adjusted. And it happens. I have immediate access to leadership, and that just suits me. That's maybe my role in life, is to work closely with leadership and give the feedback so that we can stay efficient and make the changes when we need to.
Now, what do you say, you know, when you're looking at job candidates, what would you say are some of the shortcomings that you see in job candidates?
Oh, yeah, the shortcomings. And I observed this because I put these into my workshops, because I still go back to the university and do workshops and help students. So this is something I talk about often. But the main thing I see with people we're talking to would be people knowing or being able to describe their brand, their own profile. Especially in interviews, when I'm, or if they're submitting paperwork, you know, the application materials, being able to describe their skill set, why they are interested in this company, you know, not even why you're interested in this job, but tell me why you're interested in representing this company, those types of things, and then aligning that with your brand. What are you all about? Can you demonstrate this on your resume, you know, in some type of profile you've posted in social media? Alignment is what I see as far as a shortcoming. People will say one thing, and then I'll go and read something else that's completely different about what they've done or what they're doing. And so alignment is very important in terms of what's out there, what's posted about you in social media, but then what you can communicate in writing on paper, like resume or your CV, curriculum vitae, or what, you know, what's coming out of your mouth, what are your thoughts? All of that's got to be aligned. If you want me or this company to invest time and money in you to join our team.
Now, you are, as I said before, you're the interim director of People's Operation. Can you tell us a little bit about what is about Adium and its services? What do they do?
Sure. So Adium, we really like to think of ourselves as providing our clients with data. So we kind of describe ourselves as a data science company. But what we're doing is a professor about 40 years ago invented his own water sensor that could help people determine water moisture content in plants, in soil, in food. And that's very important when it comes to, say, packaging products, you know, that are perishable. You got to know the water moisture content so that certain microbes aren't growing in the packaging. You got to know the water moisture content for shelf life, taste, texture. If you're using it in soils and you're growing a crop of some sort, you got to know what's happening in the root zone, when the roots are ready to take in more water. It improves your yield of whatever you're growing per square foot. So this helps companies, clients, to be efficient in whatever they're producing. And that water sensor was put into, I don't know, maybe three or four different devices, you know, in terms of shapes and sizes and what environments they're going to be used in. And it gives you the data. In essence, you could irrigate your farm from your phone in terms of when to water or not to water, that type of thing. And if you're producing, say, like cookies or cake mix, and you've got too much moisture in it, you can, because the data readings come out immediately, you can stop production, correct what's going on, and then proceed without having to wait maybe a week for data to come back. And then you've, you know, you're having to pull things from the shelf and waste hundreds of thousands of dollars. So that's what our devices do. They give water moisture content readings in all different types of environments for our clients.
Now, when you're looking to hire candidates for positions with Adium, what majors do you look to hire in?
Okay, definitely engineering. So you're talking software. Well, for positions dealing with software, so we're looking for computer science, computer engineering, anyone that wants to go into hardware design. So we're looking for engineering majors per se, but then we're also looking for people that have done business degrees as well, or even a business minor per se, because those occupations that we have that deal with, say, project management or things like, or accounting, finance, we need people that have a good foundation of business practices. And so you can get that in a business degree. So we're looking for business degrees or a business minor. And I would say maybe some of the other things we're looking for would be technical skills. So not always a degree per se, a 4-year degree or five or a graduate degree. Sometimes we're looking for certificates. So if you completed a certificate in, say, soldering, you know, the actual skill of soldering things together on a computer board, that is something that somebody could go and take a class and master that, you know, in 4 to 6 weeks. And maybe you haven't quite finished your degree, but you can come get a job with us because you know how to solder things on a computer board. And there's your part-time job right there while you finish your degree. So sometimes we're looking for certificates, skills that show that you have a specific skill set as it pertains to a technical skill.
Now, does Adium offer internships for college students?
We do offer internships, and that sometimes we offer, you know, maybe a dozen, and then sometimes it might only be one or two. It depends, because we're a small company, and we have to have that staff member that's willing to supervise those interns. And so sometimes, you know, the schedules don't allow for it for that business quarter. You know, if we're in a business quarter where we're kind of focused on our revenue and getting the products out, because we manufacture things on site. But for the most part, let me tell you something about our internships. This is very important. And I think this applies a lot of places right now. I think you have to be ready. If you come and do an internship with us, you have to be ready to hit the ground running. This is not going to be sitting at the front desk, you know, stuffing envelopes and answering phones. This is going to be, you're working on a team, a gradual release of responsibility, meaning you're going to observe, then you're going to assist, then you're going to lead with some assistance, and then you're going to be given a project, just like you're a professional working on staff full time. And you're going to have to get that project done. So we coach you along, but this is so that you can really get something out of it and put something on your resume that shows you completed some kind of project of some sort. So it's really, our internships tend to be hands-on, skill-based, because we're entering into a skill-based economy. So you got to show the skills. And we think that's what's most important for us, for our industry that we're in.
You're listening to Career Talk. I'm your host, Reuben Britt. We're joined today by Mr. James Bledsoe. He is the Interim Director of People's Operation at Adium. And we're going to hear more from James in just a few minutes, so stay with us. Welcome back to Career Talk. We're joined today by Mr. James Bledsoe. He is the Interim Director of People's Operation at Adium. And before the break, he was shedding light on internship opportunities, how the internship program is set up at Adium. James, one of the things that I was really impressed with you is that you're a person who has given back to the community by volunteering your time to worthy causes. Can you tell our listeners about your community involvement?
Okay, well, that's something that's very important to me because I had a lot of people in my life that gave their time, volunteered. What came easy to me was to get involved in local athletics, parks and recreation, assisting or leading on the board, board of directors for a baseball league or a volleyball or anything like that. I got myself involved because that's where I'm going to be engaging families. Sure, I can coach, I can teach anyone how to hit a baseball. But when the family and the youth themselves start asking me about college, start asking me about careers, those are the conversations I was looking for. So I jumped in and got involved in baseball, started out coaching, the 8 and 9 years old. And then I just went all the way through until I was 15, 16 year old. And I did the same thing with basketball and volleyball. And I just, for me, it was just a way to make myself more accessible, because everyone in my small community was aware of what I was doing at the university. But this made myself more accessible to the people so that I could give back. Any opportunity I have to speak to young folks or anybody really in a group, have seminars, I do them. And, I'm not looking for honorariums or anything like that, because somebody gave the information to me free. And my philosophy is you get the information to people at the right time when they need to hear it, and they'll make good decisions. So I don't care if it's an early Saturday morning or late on a Friday night. If there's a workshop to be done and I'm invited, I'm there. I don't care who the audience is or age group. I just do it. And that has kept me quite content and happy. I've found my peace in doing those sorts of things.
Yes, you sounded a little flubber. Now, you sounded clear at the end, but a little bit before that, you was a little muzzled a little bit. I don't know if there was something happened or if there's a connection or something. Just wanted to let you know that.
Okay.
Now, we talked about your background. You played professional sports for a couple years, and you were a student athlete. And
yes.
as a college student, what advice could you give to a student athlete? Because sometimes they get caught up into this fantasy, I'm going pro or this and that, and they don't recognize that the small percentage of people that do make it to the big leagues. And, like in any sport, you got to have a plan B. So what advice can you give to student athletes?
Well, obviously, we've all thought about this for all student athletes out there, former student athletes. We've all thought about this. But I would say, hey, enjoy the fantasy. Go for the gold ring. And leverage that to get all the things that you will need later in life, meaning the education, the work ethic, the chance to network with people. One thing that I want to remind student athletes is this, is there's a lot of times where you're going to do something really special within your sport, and your name's going to be in the newspaper, on the radio, whatever. Use that now to volunteer. I did that I went to a local school district, and all they wanted me to do was work with some third graders and do the spelling test, you know, help the teacher out, getting the students motivated, read some books to the kids. After I was finished with, you know, my sport, that plan B came in. Okay, who do I know? How could I, you know, get a job? Because I didn't get drafted for football or whatever out of college. So now I had this network of people that can help me find my pathway. But sometimes you got it while your name is hot. Now that's when you get out and network and work on your plan B. I'll say also, secondly, don't waste your summers. Summer school. Oftentimes we think of summer school as, oh, that's where I got to go make up a class, or, you know, I got a low grade, I need to get a higher grade. No, you can complete your degree faster.
That's right.
Using your summers. And nowadays, with the student athletes that are, you know, moving into college or even the K-12, you know, our student athletes that are getting ready to be recruited. When I was coming out of high school, I was finished in January of my senior year. I just took some electives just to stay in school so I could, you know, play basketball at the high school. But nowadays, these teams are, in terms of your scholarship, if you graduate, you know, at the end of your junior year, they'll pay for that, you know, that next year, because you still have eligibility, but now you can work on a master's degree or work on a certificate of some sort. And so this time, as you're going for the dream, living the fantasy or whatever, you know, use that to leverage what you need for your plan B. I think that's very important, because nowadays, particularly with Division I, Division II college athletes, they're afforded every support that you can. And so that the school can provide for you, meaning academic support team, career counselors, all of that. So any of the exploration that you need to do in terms of what you want to do in life, or the skills that you're going to need to be successful in life, they're put right there. So use your celebrity as a student athlete to build your skill set, build your knowledge of the world. If you can squeeze this in before your career is over in college, think about doing study abroad. Study abroad changed my life. I did just 6 weeks at the University of West Indies in Jamaica, and it changed my life when I was a student athlete at Portland State University.
Wow, that's impressive. And now the tip of the day, the career tip of the day. What is your brand? Sell yourself. You are your own best PR person. So spend time developing a personal marketing plan. Identify your career goals and practice articulating them with confidence and enthusiasm. This is like a rehearsal for a big interview. I would like to thank my guest, James Bledsoe, Interim Director of People's Operation at Adium, for being on the show. You've been listening to Career Talk. I'm your host, Ruben Britt. Until next time, stay positive, and remember, success does not come to you, you go to it.
You've been listening to Career Talk, a monthly program featuring information on career and academic planning, sponsored by the Rowan University Office of Career Advancement. Tune in on the first Saturday of every month at 9 a.m. for another edition of Career Talk, only on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS FM.